When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to Knife Talk. We're running a bit late today, and it's all my fault, so I do apologize. But we've got a very special episode today for you. With you, as usual, is myself, Craig Lockett of Chop Knives. We also have Jeff Fader of Fader Knives. And we also have Mareko Momasi of Momasu Fire Arts. And we also have Pear from Dharma Steel, who's got some very exciting news for us in today's show. So first of all, I need to apologise for being so late. I can tell you why, and I've got a very good reason. And if you're watching, you'll be able to see too. I've been forging today. Who would have thought? Me, forging.
Love it.
I was very lucky to spend some time with Alex Paul and his team today down at the Forge. Very, very welcoming. They were just amazing. They've got such an amazing facility there, such an amazing team. Big, big thanks to Steve and Joe there for really sort of laying out the red carpet for me and showing me around and giving me some demonstrations and so on. Really do appreciate it. I will blame my lateness on Steve for Steve's really bad coffee, which made me have to have a few toilet breaks on the way back, and it all got a bit too much for me. But everybody, thank you. We've had a message here from Grateful Knives saying, "Show it, Craig." This is the wrong kind of show for that, I think. Oh, he means the knife.
Maybe you should describe it. Describe it for the listeners.
It's a typical blacksmith's knife, so it's all completely one piece. There's no extra handle. I haven't actually had a chance to grind it yet because we'd run out of time. We were chatting for so long. But there's also a bunch of other stuff as well, which I've got here, which I can very quickly show you, but these are work in progress that I'll be working with Alex on. So we're hoping to do some collaboration work, which could be sort of long-term. So that's all coming. So we're very happy about that. Enough about me. Let's talk about Jeff quickly. Jeff, what have you been up to this week?
It's been madness, total madness. I finally got to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I was scrolling down my list and I can't scroll anymore. It's all on one page. So I've been just hauling. And I just finished a pile of forks that look awesome with this new colorway. And I've been doing at night. All I do is sit up and watercolor and listen to the Knicks lose the playoffs. And then it's another reason the Knicks lost to the Atlanta Hawks. And that's the reason why I'm not at Blade Show right now, because I can't go down to Atlanta after the humiliation we received in New York, Madison Square Garden, the greatest stadium of all time. I can't go down Atlanta. That's why I'm not at Blade Show. And I'm just happy to see you guys. I'm happy to have Pear here and see Mareko and Craig and all your smiling faces.
Go Knicks, the best hockey team out there.
They're done. It's over. They got
Your week, Mareko. How's it been going?
My week. All right. I first want to start off by sending love to Coulter Ferguson and his family. His daughter has been going through some health issues. She's very young. She's only maybe a couple of years old or so. And so I just wanted to send love out to him and his family. He's Ferguson Steel on Instagram. It's Ferguson underscore Steel. If you want to understand everything that's going on, you go check out his Instagram. But the last week has been good. I actually, so I'm missing Blade Show a lot, actually, right now. I've been seeing all the Instagram posts. I'm just like, ah, because it's been a couple of years now since I've been there. And it's, I miss, the biggest thing I miss is the kind of the social aspect and catching up with everybody and seeing everybody in person, seeing people's work in person. And it's kind of hard sitting here and seeing all those posts. But I will say this last, I've been working on a little bit of a side project with my with our friend, the Golden Kalani, Andreas Kalani on Instagram. He's who also has been doing some really killer folding knives lately using his fiber laser, and he's doing some really cool stuff. So I'm working on a chef's knife that is using Mokume from my friend Peter Swartzberg. He's got this new approach he's using for making copper and nickel Mokume. It looks really cool, and I'm excited to get this handle finished out. This is going to be a good one, a really good looker. And then and basically that's it. I've just been working on handles this last week, honestly, just trying to make sure I get everything right. I hate making mistakes and having to backtrack, so I'm just kind of taking my time. What about you, Craig?
You're muted again, for Christ's sakes.
Just before we move on, Jeff and Mareko, could you just hit record your QuickTime, please? Just a little bit of admin.
What will that do for Pear?
It's fine. Okay. I've sorted that. It's all good. Hitting it's it. All good. Pear. So for those who don't know, Pear is the CEO of Dharmasteel, the makers of the finest stainless Damascus available. And they've had some really big, big news this week. They're normally at Blade, and they would have announced this at Blade. But Pear, over to you. Tell our listeners what you've been up to this week with Dharmasteel.
Oh, we have been very, very busy getting prepared for our launch that we did yesterday about these new patterns. So it's been busy, and of course we are really missing the Blade Show. I mean, we go there; we have been there every year, and for the last years now. And now we cannot go. This is the second year. We are not able to enter the States. So hopefully we can go, come back next year. But we really miss you guys out there on the Blade Show. And so I just say, have fun and have some beers for me and the rest of our team. And I hope it gets noisy later in down there.
I've heard it can get get pretty messy. I've heard.
Yeah.
You guys have produced some reveal videos for your new patterns. I'm just going to play one, and maybe you can talk us through this new pattern, one of these new patterns. Just a second.
Wow!
I love it. Just when you think it's over. The flames come up. It's very sort of my style. I love that. It's a proper good reveal video. So that's... Is it Fafnir? Is that how it's presented?
Yeah, it's Fafnir, yes. It's named after the dragon Fafnir, who was breathing poison. So, I mean, and this is something we have been working on for a very long time now. We are using, this is a completely new way of doing the pattern for us. And it's kind of, it's been a very fascinating and interesting journey coming this far. And you think that things, you know, you're going to do things and you're going to do them quickly, but things takes time. And we have had a lot of hurdles to come over. But now we finally have the material on the ground ready to be, you know, to be sold. And the whole thing about this is really that we are using a new way of designing patterns. And we have been talking to different... bladesmiths and forgers, and Mareko has also been an inspiration for us in our development on this, and you know, learning all about pattern making and understanding how the lines flows and what creates that, and adopting that to our unique way of doing things. So, and
it looks incredible.
As I understand, yeah, and as I understand it, you can see this video. It tells a lot, but also by the looking at the comments on Instagram, it seems like people are really appreciating this, and and it's sure is stunning in when you can see it in the real world. We have a knife. We have knives here. Unfortunately, there are not many knives at the Blade Show, but I hope soon and for the autumn that we will see more knives coming out with this pattern. I think that it has a lot of potential, and it's really rewarding to have gone through this, the whole journey, and finally.
Yeah, and it's not just the one pattern. Oh, sorry, Jeff. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just curious, Per, when you guys think about what designs you're going to come out with, because you have a lot. What's the step in terms of designing the next pattern? How are you thinking about what you're going to do for the next thing you're going to reveal? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's we can do a lot of different patterns, and we have, of course, the different methods to play with. As you all guys have, I mean, we forging. We use the hammer. We use the rolling mills. We use the patterning operation. We use the twisting, and by combining that, we can do many different sorts of patterns. But then we have the way we do it gives us some unique possibilities, but also some limitations that we need to think about how to handle. And when we come up with a new pattern, it's very important that it's different to the rest of the patterns. Because if you make a lot of patterns, you can see that, oh, this looks similar to the other one. No, we cannot have that. So we need to have something that's really different. And this is very different from what we have done before. So, and that was the intention, you know, to create something. And we have this will be a series of patterns coming out over the next couple of years. So we will continue tweaking this pattern.
So that first one was Fafnir, but there's more. You've been very busy working on two.
Yeah, I need to give thanks to Stella, who has made these videos, and she's. I mean, it was a beautiful work she has done, so that has been very good. Needhog, it's also an interesting pattern, and I assume that you can see what's going on here. And, you know, by Needhog is named after the dragon with the bright scales, and I think you can see the scales here on the pattern. It's very dramatic. It's a lot very detailed, and I'm sure that will be a good pattern on many knives. And it's also going through. This is Fafnir. Yeah, you can see that.
But we've got a few. Here of knives made with the new patterns, they just look incredible. It's a real shame that they're not at Blade, so people can't see these. But for those watching on the live view, we've got some of these. And if people head over to Dharma Steel Lab, which is Dharma Steel's Instagram account, you can see a lot more of these images, and they are just very, very special. Very special things.
Yeah, these are knives made by Johnny Stout, who you may know, and another Swedish knife maker, Ted Dahlqvist, and they got some pieces for these. But of course, we hope that we will see over the next couple of months up to the next Blade Show, presumably, we can get some more for the Blade West coming up in October. It will be really exciting. I'm super excited to see those knives made out of this, and I I hope you guys can use some of the material and do something with it and tell us what you think
about
it.
I'm really pleased to announce that we're going to be working with you over the next year as Dharma Steel will be sponsoring the show. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Per. So all of our sponsors, the way we work with our sponsors is to get a discount for all our listeners. So we haven't mentioned this off air, but I'm hoping now there's people watching, there's a bit of pressure on you. Maybe we can get some sort of discount for our listeners from you. What do we think?
Yeah.
Squeeze the choking and squeeze. Oh my God. You got squeezed.
We shall talk about it later. It's not a problem.
Oh my God. He's a blacksmith for 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, he's putting the squeeze on people. Can you imagine?
But what we're hoping to do is we're going to have a Dharma Steel knife of the week. Because now we're doing video and there's visuals involved. We can show that. So we'd love people to, if they're using any Dharma Steel, to hashtag Dharma Steel. I'll go through them each week and we'll pick one to highlight each week, and we can talk about the maker and we can show the visuals of the knife, that kind of thing. And I think it'll be a really nice way for us all to discover new makers, but also see these patterns in action, which, you know, they are incredible. I think, Mareko, I think maybe you can help with the judging there, being a bit more of an expert on patterns. I mean, as a full-time forger now, I've done it for a good 4 hours. Expert, but you've obviously got a bit more expertise than me.
Yeah, I think what's really impressive about these materials that you guys are making at Dharma Steel is that they're fully martensitic, which means they're completely hardenable. Some stainless that's out there that people are making, maybe smaller producers, they mix in some steels that aren't necessarily hardenable or get to the kind of high performance hardness that you want in a knife. And the Dharma Steel material is fully hardenable to really high hardness, which is awesome performance for especially like a thin knife, like a chef's knife, but also can obviously be brought back for hard use knife. But to be able to have that performance in a material like that is really impressive, especially with those kind of patterns in them.
Yeah, I mean, our knives, we usually say, or the makers usually, you maybe have discovered that already, but above 62 is normal, you know, but between 61, 63 or Rockwell C, and the steel really performs at those levels. So it's
we've had a question. Sorry, go on, Jeff. Go on. I keep interrupting.
I was just going to say, I was just going to say that one of the interesting things to me about Dharma Steel, and especially for our listeners are mostly, you know, a lot of them are not professional, you know, knife makers. A lot of them are, hobbyists and stuff like that. I'd like for you to talk about the approachability of people being able to use Dharma Steel. Just even if you have you have a kiln and you have minimal tools, Dharma Steel is very versatile for people that maybe aren't, you know, journeyman smith and master bladesmiths.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy material to use. I would say that you need to, of course, be careful as normal, but it behaves like a normal martensitic knife steel. It doesn't give you a surprise in any way. It behaves like it should, and it's very stable, so to say. So, I mean, most people should have a success with it, without no doubt, and there is nothing strange to it. You can use your basic tools that you have, and your kiln and some foil when you do the heat treat, it's approachable, and the etching, which is which is the key to reveal the pattern. It's not very difficult either. There's simple tools, and you use some muriatic acid or pool acid to etch in, and you heat it up a bit. And we have some videos on our YouTube channel. We can talk about that more here. And I want to, you know, tell people about how to do the proper etching.
I was surprised at how many informative videos you have on your YouTube channel and link to Damasteel, your website, because it does take away the mystique of what it is. I mean, you know, when we were at the Damasteel Chef Knife Invitational, you know, you're talking about some of the best knife makers on the planet using Damasteel. And I would think that some people would be like, wow, I'm a little bit, you know, concerned, maybe this isn't for me, but you've made it very, very approachable for the average home knife maker hobbyist to be able to use it. And I think that that's an unbelievably good resource.
Yeah, we try to make it easy. It should be easy for people, and we want everyone to be successful. I mean, it's very important that we can support people in being successful in making their knives, and I guess we can do even more than that. And yes, of course, and we are happy to answer questions here. And
we've had a question. We've had two questions from Grateful Knives. The first being, how easy is Damasteel to forge? And also then what is the temperature range for forging? And again, as a professional forger now, thanks to today, I'll give that some thanks thought. But in the meantime, maybe Per could give a better answer.
It's relatively easy to forge, I would say, but you know, you need to take care of some things, because if you compare to, like, if you're used to a carbon steel, the temperature range is much not so wide. You need to keep the temperature. Otherwise, you know, it gets hard and you might destroy it. And there is also a risk of overheating. So you need to have a close, you need to have a device that shows what temperature you have on the piece or in your kiln. Without that, it's very difficult. So you have to have a
temperature control. You know what you could do, Per? Could do?
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
That's how you do it.
You're going to need an oven. So what we suggest is going to soulceramics.com because they're a distributor of Evenheats. And we can get you a discount. So you can get $75 off your unit plus free shipping within the States. And you can spec out the machine exactly how you want it. So if you go to knifetalk.net/heat, you'll be able to build your Even Heat and it'll automatically apply those discounts at checkout. So knifetalk.net/heat or follow the link down in the description. That was like a double whammy of sponsors, that one. I'm quite pleased with that one.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
Well, in your videos online, you guys, when they show the forging, they are working out of a kind of a kiln. Is that a gas fired? Is that electric kiln that they're working out of?
It's electric kilns.
Yeah. That's why you got to get your Even Heat.
We've got a question here as well from Griffiths Handmade Knives, a fellow Welshman. What is the Austin ties in temperature, and is cryo recommended for Damasteel?
On our website, you can find our data sheet for the material, and you have all the information there with temperatures and heat treatment and etching, etc. It's very informative. So you have every figure there, and you can get it correct. I would say that it bumps up the hardness a bit and gives a little bit better corrosion protection. It's not a must, but it's recommended if you can do it. It doesn't hurt.
Cool. Any more questions, anybody in the chat for Pear whilst we're here?
I got one more for Pear.
Sure.
So the material, most people are used to Damascus being made from alternating plates of steel, but you guys are using powdered metallurgical material. And so how do you feel like that, kind of going back to its usability and how user-friendly, does the powdered metallurgy play a role in how user-friendly that material is?
Yeah, it does. I mean, because of the powder metallurgy technique we're using, we get a material that is more or less flawless. We don't have any issues at all in the material. It is acting as a solid piece of any steel, you know. It's like a solid piece of metal. Even if you have patterns in there, it has never been folded or put together by different sheets. It's just been one solid piece of metal all the time. Yeah. And that is the uniqueness of it. And that's why it behaves the way it does and gives it the predictability. And so, yeah, and that is the big difference to other makers of Damascus steel who puts together things. So we do it completely different.
I was going to say that I would think that on a production level, that ability to make sure that, I mean, that when you're coming up with these designs, the fact that it's so repeatable and every time it's going to be the same. So when somebody buys a piece of Damascus steel and then they grind it down, they heat treat it and they temper it and they cryo it and then they put it through the etch, they're not going to see a delamination. You're going to have the same result every single time.
Yeah, that's correct. And this is the big difference. Nothing will ever happen to the material. It's just one solid piece of steel, and it's always been. Though we have two different alloys in there that is combined from the very start. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm very conscious of your time, Per, but we do have one more question for you in the chat, if that's okay. And I think Mareko may have another question as well, actually. I think it's Verkos. We're terrible at names here. Verkosuo, maybe? Saying, do you have to do some annealing after forging with Dharma Steel?
I guess you're referring to if you do some kind of normalizing or an annealing before going to do the heat treatment. Mm. Yeah, you can do that. It can be recommended to do that. I actually don't know how the other guys are doing that are doing repeatedly and forging integrals. Maybe Mareko can give a light on that. And tell us how he would do it.
Well, Per, I forge now very regularly. I'll let Mareko take this one.
15 minutes.
I'll let Mareko take this one.
15 minutes. Unbelievable. Outstanding.
That's hilarious.
Actually, I wrote it down as notes because I actually got some notes from another friend who forges stainless. I'm trying to think. After the forging, there were some normalizing cycles. I think I brought them up to like 14, or sorry, it's like 1650, just with a couple 16, minutes.
I'd go 1660, maybe. 1660.
What size are you using, Craig? What size are you got on your hammer? What size are you using? How dare you? It's outrage. Listen to him.
And then when it came to kind of preparing it for final hardening, I did a kind of a quote unquote subcritical anneal at 1700. And then I just followed the Damasteel process on the data sheets they have on their website about how to heat treat from that point forward. But it's kind of along the same lines as what you would do for carbon steel, honestly.
There was a good question from one of these guys. I don't know exactly who. If somebody were to practice on a type of stainless steel, that's Grateful Knives asks, is there a stainless steel that compares to Damascus steel to practice the forging? That's a great question.
I mean, we have, of course, we have the RWL-34, which is one of the components within the patterned steel. So that is one you could try, and similar steels to that, it's out there. That could be a good advice to try. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Per, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We'll let you go now to work out how we can get some sort of discount from you. We'll give you some time to think about how we can get discount out to you. But thank you so much for being on the show, and hopefully we can do this again soon. So if anybody has questions, bank them all up. Let's get Per back on the show, and hopefully we can answer any questions that you
have. I would be happy to do that, and I'm sure we can work something out on the discount.
There we go. And last but not least, Per, we had such a good time at the Dan Vasile Chef Knife Invitational. That was so much fun. We got so many great responses in regards to how well you guys ran that event. And we all had such a great time. And I know a lot of the knife makers had a great time. I got a lot of messages after the fact for like days on end. And thank you so much for inviting us. It was a lot of fun.
It was great having you. And we will be back, as you know. And so we'll see you soon there.
I hope so.
All right.
Cool. Right. Thank you very much, Per. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
You are cheeky.
There we go.
You are cheeky. Look, you're cheeky, and you got everyone's Grateful Knives to say.
Grateful Knives. You said Knife Talk 20 would be nice. 20%. That would be nice. I think we may be pushing things.
Too much. You overheated the steel, Craig. You overheated the steel. That was hilarious.
That went really well. I really enjoyed that. That went really well. And I think, maybe we should do more of this kind of stuff, get sort of experts in, and grill them.
Put the squeeze on them. I don't think he was prepared for the squeeze.
Put him under pressure a little bit for a discount. But, that's what we
do. Look at you.
Kyle Heath says, no playoff music. No, we show respect on this show from going forward. We show respect. Mareko, I know you've got a hard out today, haven't you?
I do in about 20 minutes or so.
Right. Okay. Cool. So shall we start with some questions? I tell you, before we do that, we'll do...
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now!
There we go. Mareko, would you like to take the first question that we've had?
Sure would. This first one is great. It's from Eric Markman. He says, is putting knives up to Eldering Blade virtual brown bagging?
So I love this question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, I wanted to set it up. So for some of you guys, so Blade Show is going on as we speak, as we're recording. It's Friday afternoon. Blade Show is the first day of Blade Show. There is a concept. Is expression called brown bagging. So basically, if you're a knife maker, you can get a table and you can exhibit your work and you can sell your work. Well, brown bagging is you just buy a pass to come in. You got a pile of knives in your back pocket or your backpack, and people know who you are, and then you're just kind of like moving them out of your bag. You didn't buy a vendor's table. You didn't go through any of the proper channels. You just know the collectors. Maybe they know who you are, and you're talking about brown bagging it. So what the Blade Show had done a post or a couple days ago saying, if you're caught brown bagging, you're going to be found out and you're going to be expelled from the show and possibly future shows. And it became a very like, they had to take the comments down because half the people were like, we don't rat. And then the other, it was an interesting topic of conversation. And for Eric Markman, I don't know if he brown bags it or not. I got a feeling he does.
I think Eric's there with those, those golf sail things, those big wooden things that you wear.
Yeah, Brown. He got the wooden shoes on. hauling a big brown bag full of knives. He's moving around. So go ahead.
It was a strange stance to take, I think. For the community, because I'm sure a lot of that happens. And maybe it's eating into their profit because these people maybe should be getting tables, but. People buy in from friends and things. It's a strange stance to take. Very strange.
Well, what do you think, Mareko?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tricky one because I can understand a little bit where they're coming from, but I don't know. It just seems like Yeah, like Craig was saying, it's not the right stance to take right now. Like, we should be really excited for everybody to get back together. And then they're like pulling out the yardstick ready to whap you across the hands or across the ass. And it doesn't seem like the right move to me.
Because I can understand both points.
Yeah.
Because I can totally understand the idea of like people paid, you know, $500 for a table, and then, you know, this guy's coming in with the backpack full of, you know, K-tips, and he's going to move them all. Maybe even organized it, you know, in there and there, whatever. I mean, I can understand that. I can also understand what the three of us were talking about it earlier this week. And, you know, they had the comments, they had to pull the comment section up because everyone's saying we don't rat. I can understand also that what Mareko just said, we're starting to get out of the pandemic in the United States, or it feels that way. And, you know, everyone missed out on a Blade show. I'm sure a lot of blade knife makers lost out on some sales that they normally would have gotten. Just get the people to the door. You don't have to start, you know, you don't have to start like searching their bags. Just let them the fuck in and smile, because it's like, let's start policing next year. Cause it's like, you want people through the door. You don't need to be like, you know,
it's like taking your own candy to the movie theater. Right. Like, honestly, I almost every time I go to the movie theater, I bring my own candy or whatever, my own whatever is. Cause,
oh yeah, that guy with the noisy chip.
I always take my garbage out. I always think about that part too. Is it gonna make a ton of noise? So, but I mean, what are they gonna do at the theater? Like, they're gonna kick everybody out that ever has done that? Like, they're losing attendees, basically watchers. And so it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, okay, so then what are you going to do? People are going to just go to Atlanta and then not come into the show? They're just going to fucking hang out in the lobby, because there's plenty of space outside of the convention center to hang out, where there's plenty of food, there's plenty of beer. Maybe they all just do their thing out there instead of paying to come into the show.
I mean, I would think that there's a lot of business going on in the pit anyway.
Oh yeah.
You know, the pit is where, you know, in the after hours of the Blade show, there are people who come down, everyone gets drunk. Now I have a question.
In 5 years, the only thing I ever sold at Blade show was in the pit at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Look at you. I'm shocked that you say that. The only thing in the morning?
The only thing I ever sold was the first year I went to Blade show.
Who was it at 3 o'clock?
It was 3 o'clock.
Who was this person at 3 o'clock in the morning? You don't have to tell.
His name's Kitchen Tactical. Tactical. No, he's a good guy.
Yeah, and, of course he is.
He used to actually work for Joel Berkowitz. And Brooklyn, right?
Huh.
Or Brooklyn.
3 o'clock in the morning is a big drunken moment to plop down some cash. I like it. I'm for it.
He pulled out a bunch of hundreds, and I was like, it's hard to say no when somebody's got a fistful of hundreds flapping in your face.
That's it.
So you say,
Mareko's hustling, pretended to be drunk like the rest of them, but he's eyeing people up to see
who's
got the bleary eyes.
You might as well.
No. I gave him a discount. I gave him a severe discount.
So here's back to.
I was desperate to feel like I was able to sell something.
Back to the last question. What's the best thing you've ever taken to a movie theater to eat? Because I have an answer.
Oh, I have to think about that.
When I was in high school,
I snuck a lot of
stuff. I was obsessed with street cart hot dogs. I'd get six of them and put them in my pockets. And I would go to the movie theater and I'd eat 4 to 6 hot dogs. It was the greatest fucking thing, with mustard and sauerkraut. I had them in my pockets and I was whipping them out. I would eat hot dogs the whole movie. You know, the
sausages everywhere.
I'm telling you.
How do you keep that from juicing all over you?
I mean, it was all wrapped up, and by the time you got there, it was a little bit kind of more solidified. So there wasn't a lot of juice. But I mean, they were all wrapped. It was a streetcar hot dog. Yeah, I wrapped them up to go. And I was like, slip them in the pocket. And every so often, it's soubrette's time.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I've taken wine, beers. I've taken hot wings.
Hot wings?
You know.
Hot wings in the movie theater? Whoa, that's tricky.
Yeah.
See, the hot dog, you can just, like, you know, down the hatch. But wings, you gotta work.
Well, I'll tell you. So my brother and I used to do this thing called theater hopping. And we were just poor kids basically wanting to go see movies, and we couldn't afford to go see them very often. So when we went, we tried to see as many as we could. Yeah. And we did a 3-bagger one day, but you go in and the way theater is set up
there's two different hallways, right?
And so, and they list like what movies are playing on what hallway. So right. Like, oh, which hallway is going to be the better option? So then you figure out which hallway, you figure out a movie you want to see that's coming up. You go and you watch the movie. And then when you come out, you basically like you go to the bathroom and you kind of with the crowd, and then you go back into another theater of another movie that you're interested in seeing. But problem is, you might catch it like in only in like the middle of it, or you it might be starting, but then there's another one you want to see after that, that starts maybe halfway through that movie. So then you hop out, and you basically like people walk around the hallways all the time because they're going to the bathroom or getting more concession stand or doing whatever. So like how closely they're really watching, I don't know. They might be watching closer now. I feel like they have like those infrared cameras and stuff in the theaters now. But
probably what state you're in. When you said you and your brother, I was imagining you going in like with your brother on your shoulders with a big trash bag and just paying for one.
Excuse me, could we have one ticket? Please.
We'd like to see a rated R movie.
Oh, dude.
Yes, I'm more than that.
You know what? That reminds me. We used to bring, even when my kid was young, we used to bring in healthier popcorn. Diamond Metalworks is, I remember the time you gave me shit for liking gas station hot dogs. Street cart hot dogs and gas station hot dogs are two different things, my friend. Two different things.
Really?
That's that. Yes. Yes. Because okay. That's it. We once... brought, this is when I was a kid. I was so furious. My wife got the like healthy popcorn and different shit and get in her backpack. And this must have been after some sort of terrorist situation. And the guy said, I got to look in your backpack. They made me carry the backpack. And I turned to them and I turned to my wife and I was just like, I cannot believe I'm going to be searched for this popcorn. And I turned to the guy and I'm like, look, we all know what's in my bag. I was just like, we all know what's in my bag. I don't think you need to look. I can tell you this. There ain't anything you're going to have a problem with. And he says to me, I said, I'm with my wife, and my kid. Trust me. You don't need to look in my bag. I promise. I promise. And he goes, look, I know you have food in there. I have to look. And I was just like, and it was a very awkward situation. And I turned to my wife and kid. I'm like, I'm never doing this again for you. You guys bring your own fucking bullshit popcorn in. I'm not riding the pine to this. The guy was just like, I can't believe I have to tell you this. But the funniest part was I said, we all know it's in my bag. Everybody knows. I mean, what are my homework? When I bring I'm 46 years old and I brought my homework to the movie theater. We all know it's in my backpack. You don't need to look.
That's why usually my wife will bring like her large shoulder bag or something like that, because if you got a backpack, I think that's like actually the standard. Like if you're bringing in a backpack, they're checking it. But if a woman's bringing in a purse, they're not checking that. So if they got a big purse, they can fill a lot of food in there.
my kid was turning to my wife, is he gonna go to jail? She's like, yeah, I hope so.
What are you in for?
I mean, for
murder, whatever it is. No, I smuggled a hot dog into it.
Smuggled a hot dog in? Come on, man. That was when I was in high school, a hot dog. I can't eat hot dogs anymore.
Jeff, hide
cholesterol. So brown bagging
smuggled
it.
Smuggled a hot dog in. That's the title for this show. Smuggled a hot dog in.
Come on. We got to give a good one for Pear's not listening to this part. We have to give it nice. So Pear listened to what he was on, and then he won't listen to the rest of it. So you got to make it sure that he don't get to that part, because he's going to be like, what are these guys talking about? Why are we sponsoring Knife Talk? Hot dog smugglers. What the hell is going on here? Got to give him the good, good. You can't give him one of them. You can't give him one of them cheeky titles like you normally do. We got to
ride the dragon,
you know, stand up straight for Pear. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Something Damasteel friendly. You can't smuggling hot dogs with Pear from Damasteel. You can't do that.
Bird Forge says cargo pants. Everyone knows they had only made to smuggle candy into the movies.
There you go. Back to Eric's original question. He basically was saying is if you're trying to sell your work now at home online, is that virtual brown bagging? Because you're kind of taking away the spotlight of the people at Blade Show right now.
There's going to be plenty of people hashtagging Blade Show and not being there, but just trying to get eyeballs on their work.
Yeah.
Definitely. Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. That's a good move.
Mm.
Yeah, wait, what if you were in the show, but your stuff was on sale online? is that?
That's some loophole. That's some,
at the show.
Some, yeah, that's a Bitcoin brown bagging right there. I mean, that's
you just pull out your Square and be like, "Yep, it's right there. It's online. You've seen it."
That's the there you go. Huh, Lena, look. I think that honestly, the interesting question was like, you know, we've been away for a year. This is people are probably P.S. I'm sure the pit is like ripe right now. Are we going to be ripe tonight with like high level debauchery? I think it's going to be. I think a whole year has passed, and people are going to like be putting it on a little bit harder this year. But I mean, is it worth it? I mean, obviously, if they had to take the comments down, is it worth saying? Is it just like, let's just give them a pass today? You know, I mean, times have been tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Jeff, take the next one if you don't mind.
Okay. Like, give me a second because I was so busy talking about all this stuff. Okay. Here we are. Nicholas C. Stone. Question for Craig. How do you do your glow-in-the-dark scale liners? All my attempts end with particles settling out before the resin cures enough.
Ah, sorry, this chair is squeaking. It's not me.
That's all right.
I use a powder and resin, but as it's curing, I put it on the drill press table. So anything I do with resin, I generally do that. Turn the drill press on and put it on the drill, and that slight vibration will keep things, you know, bubbles off and all that kind of thing. As long as you mix really well, and with the, I think it's a photoluminescence powder, I think that's what it's called, you can use a fair bit in that in resin. So you're probably not putting enough in, so it's probably settling to the bottom. And if that is the case, if you're using them as liners, make sure when you do your molding for your liner, make sure that the bottom then would be the external part. Because it's like when you think of a liner in a knife, 90% of that isn't seeing the sunlight anyway, because it's been covered by the rest of the handle. So just make sure that, you know, if you are having a case of the powder is settling, make sure that when you're doing your cut, make sure that the cut is showing that, you know, the bottom, which is where you settle at, is the bit that will be visible to the light and that kind of thing.
Wow.
But yeah, it's really as simple as that. I'll just make a mold, or you can just get, you know, like generally trying to use HDPE if you're doing any sort of casting or molding, because things will peel off it easy enough, or silicon. Make sure, you know, you've got a nice flat bottom, because then you don't have to do any work afterwards. It'll come out perfectly flat. There we go. A nice flat bottom. There we go.
That's the Welsh calling card. A nice flat bottom.
Nice flat bottom. I've got to say, I was late today because it was like sort of 5, 6 p.m. here, and I was traveling from England into Wales, and everybody had the right idea. Everybody's doing the same thing, coming to Wales for the weekend. So good on you. That's what I say.
God's country, right?
God's country. God's country. And I'm sure Griffith's Handmade Knives in the chat would agree with me too. Mareko, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, this next one, I'm not sure. Oh, there it is. It's from Luke Berklemans. He says, "Hey guys, I have a question. At what temp will decarb start on basic carbon steel? I ask because I want to use my fancy new kiln for subcritical annealing, and I would prefer if it didn't if I didn't have to use foil wrap." Interesting. So I think
we need to take a second just to appreciate the comment that I've just put up on the screen by Chris DeSay. Flat bottom molds make the rocking world go round.
Nice. That's good.
Comment of the day so far. Sorry, Mareko, I rudely interrupted that.
No, you're good. So for me, I notice even when I'm doing a subcritical anneal at 1250, I still get a little bit of decarb, but it's super light. I can see that being an issue if you're doing a subcritical anneal, you haven't even finished heat treating the thing. So even if that little bit of decarb's there, that shouldn't be a problem, honestly. And so, yeah, especially if you got more grinding to do. But I'm sorry, I'm just like spacing out and trying to think. So I wouldn't be concerned about it. But if you are concerned about it, it's going to decarb, so you might just have to use tool wrap foil. Wrap your tool. Make sure you don't get any decarb all over the place.
Yeah, girl.
Wrap that Tool.
Oh, I hope Pear's not listening to this part. Smuggling hot dogs and wrapping that tool. If this party for him, he ain't listening to this part. I don't blame him.
Whilst we're talking about tools, I was at Alex Paul's place today, as I may have mentioned already, and we were talking about Broadback grinders, how they just love the idea of them and the fact that all these different accessories and stuff are available. And I was saying to them, yes, they are the shit. So, Jeff, why don't you tell our lovely listeners and watchers all about your Broadback?
I mean, you can't get much more convenient and flexible. It's a great grinder made by knife makers, and it's a 2x72 grinder. You put it together. They are constantly having deals. They have a deal going on right this minute. I don't know if it's lasting Pat by the time we've posted, but by the time this is,
it's
up,
until Monday, the 7th,
until the 7th of June. Yep. But they're doing great deals. And here's the best part about it. They really thought it through. So if you already have, you say, well, I don't need a grinder. I have a grinder. You can get their tool arms. All their tool attachments are amazing. I just saw Josh Weston, a friend of the show, was using one of their new sharpening systems that they're going to be unveiling.
Yeah, that 1x42.
That little baby grinder looked awesome. They have all sorts of buffing wheel attachments and fullering attachments and slack belt attachments. And it's just they're constantly coming out with some really great stuff that's very versatile for you, especially if you have a grinder that fits the 1.5-inch tool arm. So go to broadbackironworks.com, put in Night Talk 10. They're going to give you 10% off. Obviously, they have a sale going on now. You better check with their Instagram page. Go follow them because they're always having sales. And I know that this particular sale, this one during my Blade show, is going to be the last sale until Black Friday. So if you want to hop on it, Monday's your day. Get to it. Broadbackironworks.com, promo code KnifeTalk10, or use the promo code that they're using as we speak.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Yep. Cool. Now, I've been looking through the Instagram very quickly. I know, Jeff, you've probably taken a note, but we seem to have a lot of...
How about some hot takes?
Dude, we've had a lot of hot takes. I love hot takes. And the first hot take comes from your blacksmith master, Craig, your teacher, your master, Moonshine Metalworks, Sensei. Sent in a hot take while you were, you know, slowly digesting his horrendous coffee. His hot take is Moonshine Metalworks, Steve.
I'm still digesting that stuff.
My God. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Hot take: podcasters make so much money they can buy the whole team of blacksmiths lunch. He said you came down and bought the whole crew lunch.
Well, they were kind enough to let me sort of nose in what they were doing. So and beer, by the way,
gracious.
But,
and they made you late after you did all that for them. It's an outrage.
Bastards.
You bought them lunch.
I mean, I would take it up with them, but Alex is about 5 times bigger than me. So let's keep this down. He's a big guy.
He came to my shop and held a sledgehammer. It looked like a small ball peen hammer in his hand. He's a monster. The next one comes from Greg Klassen. Last minute hot take. Stimulus checks enable people to not work. I like this I like this hot take because this is the biggest problem is people are getting unemployment and stimulus checks. And some of them, especially in the restaurant business, they're deciding to not go to work. And I actually just saw this post. I never get into fights on the internet just because it's so stupid. But this friend of mine had written that if restaurants paid their workers better, then they wouldn't be worrying about the stimulus checks. They'd rather come to work. And I muttered to myself, then when the prices of the restaurants go up, you better go. Because that's what's going to happen is like all these people were saying they're not getting paid enough, which is true. They should be paid more. However, don't bitch when if the food's too expensive, because now you got to pay these guys. You know, you got to pay them something.
Yeah. Before we take the next hot take, we've got a question regarding our sponsor read that we just done for Broadbeck. And Grateful Knives says, are the Broadbeck arms long enough to also work with the longer 2-meter belts? So you guys, do you know
what's 2 meters? I mean,
twice as much as one.
Thanks.
I don't know. Thanks. In your
blacksmith,
isn't a meter 3.286 feet, 3 1/4?
I'll
so that'd be about
seven so that would be feet. Like 6 and 7 and change. You just might or have to get change. A bigger tool arm. I would think if it's bigger than 72, it's bigger than 72 inches.
Yeah.
Then I would say you probably have the room because, I mean, obviously different belts have different tensions.
Right.
Like the surface grinding tension, the Scotch belts are much, they stretch and they, you know, you have to get adjusted to that. And there's a pile of arm left on that. When I go to a big old Scotch-Brite belt, there's a pile of arm left in that machine. You know what I'm saying? I think you'd probably be fine.
Yeah, I think so too, because I mean the standard grinding belt that we're using in the US is 2x72, 72 inches. Yeah, there you go. So Griffith put it up. It's basically a 5-inch difference, it looks like. I'm doing it. 7-inch difference. You should be able to pull that extra slack out with the arm, because even in my, like with my tool arm in the Broadbeck, there's still like 6 or 7 inches in there. And you don't actually have to pull it out another 6 or 7 inches. You'd only have to pull it out maybe a couple more. Only have to pull it out a couple more inches to make up the slack.
I was struggling to find that button as quick as I could.
Of course. I mean, this is clear. This is hot dog smuggling time. Don't worry. You got plenty of room.
Thanks for the assist, Griffith.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should fit then. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So we've taken a couple of hot takes. I also note that we've got lots of tips as well. I've seen lots coming through. Have you got a list of them there, Jeff?
I do. I do have a list right here. This is the part of the show called I Know You Didn't Ask or Unsolicited Advice. John Ayler, this is a Blade Show special. This is a good one. Blade Show pro tip: don't drink too many beers and then barge into a conversation between Mareko and Don Nguyen or anyone else for that matter. So I pressed him. I said, is this based on something that really happened? And he goes, I will neither confirm nor deny the story. So I guess he got wasted and just kind of like huddled up to you two at one of the Blade Shows.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely happened a few times. And so who it was exactly, or which case it was, I don't know. Because I was probably a few beers in myself, but people just kind of left you, especially when you've never met them before, and you're just like, who are you? What? No introduction or anything. They just jump in. It'd be different if they're like, hey, my name's blah, blah, blah.
True story. I was talking to Jeremy Spake one year, and Alex Steele jumped out of a bush and hopped right onto me. And he came right up to me. I was just like, who is this little imp? And it was Alex Steele hopped out of a bush, hopped out of a bush. And I was talking to Spake, and all of a sudden, Alex Steele hops out of a bush. Yeah, I'm telling you, big problem. The next.
That's another potential title for the,
show. I'm telling you.
Alex Steele popped out of a bush.
I'm telling you, we got to be careful. We got to make sure that
Hot dog
Pear doesn't realize how much of a mistake
is worth
this was.
Two Alex in the bush.
Something like that. You got something.
Or one Alex in the bush is worth two hot dogs in the hand or the armpit.
Mama Lucian. We better be careful. Damn, Paris just like, this was a huge mistake. I should have gone with Mark the Maker.
And with that,
something like that.
I actually have to bail, unfortunately. But you guys have a good rest of your show.
Oh.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. No, we got some good laughs in.
Good deal.
Well, we'll see you.
We did. Good to speak with you. And we shall speak again very soon.
Bye.
See you, Mark. Echo. Bye-bye.
That was funny. That was funny.
That was funny.
So, do you want some more tips?
Well, sorry. Tips would be good, yeah.
I actually have a good tip for you because you were a CNC man. You are a CNC. I know you were blacksmith. Now you're multifaceted, so to speak. So it's like, you know, besides now that you're Mr. CNC, you're also the anvil man. So this one comes from Built Sharp because we were talking about last week. I think last week we were talking about using a CNC machine for milling scales, G10 scales. And
Forge just says, don't worry, Mareko's gone, but Craig now has our forging questions covered.
Perfect. Thank God. Perfect. You're the man. Craig's the man. He's got it under control. I'm with him. So Built Sharp, Adam for Built Sharp says he's been having a lot of luck with these little guys on for G and G10 on a CNC. Datron makes a great single flute cutter. And lots of them are aimed at small machines. It was $80, but it's brand new, and I've run out of four sheets of 12x12 G10. Get that DLC single flute ball nose, and you're on easy street. I don't know what any of that means, but I mean, single flute ball
nose. It's a good
tip. I guess.
G10 can be really abrasive on tools, so yeah, that's a really good tip. And for anybody, we just mentioned CNC, anybody who really wants to get into it, Aaron Goff, who's like the CNC master for knives, has just released a video, I think yesterday, showing some really basic CNC stuff. So if you want to get into that, it's a really good sort of primer for that. It's really cool.
Grateful Knives says single flute is perfect for plastics. What's the difference between a single flute and another type of fluted? I mean, what would you use? Is there a double flute?
Yeah. I mean, that's quite normal. So if you think of a drill bit,
okay,
you know, that flute that's going round,
yeah,
with a mill, you can have various cutting edges if you like. So a single flute, good for plastic, as Grateful Knives says. Yeah,
I would love to get into. I mean, that's the one thing is like, in my mind, I was thinking it would be great to be able to get all that work done out of a CNC machine, but I'm not like you. I can't just pick up a new skill like out of the drop of a hat. I mean, I'm just like, you know, so
I wouldn't say I pick up a new skill. It's just that I have a lot of
I'm saying blacksmith. Now you're a blacksmith.
Now I'm a blacksmith, obviously. Yeah,
that's the
new skill. I need to grow a beard now. That's where I'm fucked. I'll never be able to grow a beard.
Can you imagine? How many hairs would it be? Like 5?
Yeah, a couple of silver ones on the chin. Yeah, like somebody's grandmother. But I wouldn't say I'm good at quick at picking up skills. I just think I have a lot of downtime where I can't be in the shop, whether it's noise reasons or whatever. And I'm sitting with kids watching bloody Paw Patrol or Peppa Pig. So those are the times I can use a laptop and do the sort of soft skills, I suppose. Yeah.
I'm envious, and that is definitely the way of the future. If you talk about like all of our friends or we see on Instagram, they're all using you know, Jimmy Duress is a perfect example. He's using CNC for almost everything, and he's not relying on it. I mean, he's a, you know, it's just an addition to his, you know, an arrow in his quiver, so to speak.
Yeah.
So Right Edgeworks, Right with a W, Right Edgeworks says, I know you didn't ask, but if you haven't tried out Broadbeck Ironworks' new Game Changer belts, you're missing out. They last much longer, and the tape seam bump is almost non-existent. Best higher grit belts on the market. I didn't really know about that. I'm going to go check those out.
Yeah, we're now having sponsors competing with each other.
Well, I mean, you know, we were. I mean, that's not Broadbeck's main move. I mean, obviously, you know, that's not their main situation. I mean, they're moving arms and stuff, but whatever.
Oh yes, yeah.
Our friend Hey Budin, aka Stephen Connor, says, "Here's some unsolicited advice. I know you didn't ask, but if the container doesn't say to." Always open away from face. I guess I think you're.
There's a story behind that one, definitely.
Yeah, there's definitely a story behind that one. You were going to say, I was going to. Yeah. I think I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to read a question that we've had in the chat. How many nails did you make today? I didn't make any nails. So at the very top of the show, I quickly displayed this blacksmith's knife that Steve from Moonshine Metalworks kindly helped me make. So he's doing a class actually on Sunday, like a knife in a day class. So I was the experiment today of somebody who can barely use a hammer. And we managed to do this in about 30 minutes. We were pretty pleased with it. So it just needs a bit of grinding now.
I'm going to give you some credit because he did send me some messages. And one thing is he said that he showed you how to do something in half an hour that it normally takes somebody a whole day. So if you want a little bit of congratulatory.
He fixed a lot of my mistakes. Let's say that. Yeah, we didn't have much time. So it was a case of me doing a heat, then him doing a heat, fix my mistake. I'd mess it up again. He'd do a heat fix at my mistake. He was going
that. And then he had you using a power hammer too.
Which is great fun, isn't it?
Oh my God.
From before, obviously.
Oh my God.
It was great.
You can't get much more power hammers. It's about as fun as it gets.
Yeah.
But to describe your blacksmith knife, and I would imagine you obviously didn't heat treat it and stuff like that. So it's basically a forged blade, and then you forge the tang, and the top of the tang is parallel is the same as the line of the spine. It forges it long, does a little scroll, brings it back under the ricasso, and then you have that classic blacksmith's knife.
Yeah.
So it should be fun
There's a slight distill taper already sort of forged into it. But yeah, it just needs a grind. Well, a heat treat and then a grind. What I'm not happy with is this area here, which is sort of the heel of the blade. It's very sort of curves in, where ideally I think that should be nice and square.
Yeah, but this is the first thing you've ever forged in general. This is the first thing you've ever forged. I mean, you're not supposed to do a knife the first time. You know that? You're supposed to fuck around with nails. Yes, that's why one of our listeners said how many nails you do, because they like to see you making nails.
Yeah. But I've got to say, Steve is a great teacher. You can see why Alex has him doing classes there. A great, great teacher at explaining things. And he actually gave you credit as well, because they had a progression board of these knives and of various bottle openers, that kind of thing. And it just helps, like people like me who are quite visual, you know, just being able to see each stage. It's like, okay, I need to get to that stage next. I need to get to that stage next. It just helps massively.
We noticed when we were at the Center for Metal Arts, it was really hard to explain what needs to, because blacksmithing, a lot of the things is the small, tiny details that you wouldn't get unless you actually see it. So if you have something that you can look it up to and say, okay, this is the same size, this is where I'm supposed to be, this looks the same, it makes it, you don't have to go up to the professor and say, is this right? Because that's the other thing. Blacksmithing is very important to be able to like know exactly what know exactly where you're going. There shouldn't be any, there shouldn't be any question if you're correct or not. So yeah, I'm psyched. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I have a couple more unsolicited advice if you want.
Let's do it. Right. Yeah.
This one comes from Noah Bloomberg. He says, I know you didn't ask, but the best hand soap for getting grime off is called tar kelp. Tar kelp. I'm not kidding. And it's at Harbor Freight for like $2. Gojo can suck it. So it's like one of these pumice pump situations.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, we're talking soap. I mean, I don't know why we had it. I mean, fine.
My hands have never been so good because I've been out of the shop now for 12, 13 days, and my hands are sorted. Nature is healing, as they say.
Right.
But they're looking good. So yeah, by the way, we didn't mention it. I'm free to leave the house and explore the world now. So we had to quarantine for 10 days. A bunch of tests and stuff we had to do over that time, and they all come back negative. So we're free to go.
Look at you. Look at you. This last one comes from Baltic Blades. Baltic Blades says, advice as a new maker, one of your focuses should be finding a local community, group, or forum. You'd be amazed at how many people are willing to help share knowledge and resources, especially knife makers. I guess the respect comes from knowing that the other guy has a knife on him. I mean, you were.
Yeah.
Come on. Man.
So, we've had some unsolicited advice in the chat as well. Again, from Grateful Knives. Unsolicited advice for Craig. Grind the point of the hardy a bit smaller and use masking tape to make a tight fit. Prevent splitting of the anvil and breaking the hardy. I don't know what most of that means.
Grind the point of the Hardy a bit smaller using masking tape to make a tight fit, prevent splitting the anvil and breaking the Hardy. Okay.
So when it's putting it into the Hardy hole, make it smaller, use tape, and it'll give it a bit of sort of cushion in, extra cushion for the push in, maybe.
Well, actually, I just on my Peter Wright anvil that I just got, there was a stake tool in it, and it was jammed in there. And it wasn't jammed in there for any other reason than it was, we've been in there for years and it rusted in there. And I just gave it a hit underneath. Usually, I would, in the future for me, if I'm making Hardy tools, I made a couple Hardy tools, but if I was going to make a Hardy tool, I would consider the anvil that it was going in and making it a little bit longer as to make sure you can knock it out. So that's right, a kind of a good move too.
Yeah. So. Lots of like tips in the chat here, actually. So L. Seacon Blacksmith, I think the name is. Visit Hereford College of Art for all the blacksmithing needs, and that's down in the sort of southwest of England. He said it's like the center of metal arts, but it's in the UK. That's cool.
That's where they do the what is it, the 55 millimeter challenge, or the 32 millimeter, whatever millimeter it is a challenge where you have to forge something out. And they had a really nice it's a really great place, definitely great.
Nice. And Nuts Connie has said, have you ever broke the Hardy, Jeff?
No, I have never broken the Hardy tool. I don't really use a lot of Hardy tools. The Hardy tools I use is a hot cutoff. I've never broken one. And I like, one of my favorites is the fork for when you're forging scrolls. It's nice to have a bending fork. So I have a bending fork in one of them, and I actually use the bending fork when I'm isolating the top of a bottle opener. So, but I have never broken one. No.
We've got a call.
There you go.
I think we may have a roving reporter.
There you go.
I think they're on the Blade Show Wi-Fi, maybe.
Oh boy.
And nothing is connected.
I barely hear you, Craig. I'm at Blade Show 2021.
It's a roving.
Atlanta, Georgia.
It's a roving reporter. Introduce yourself, please.
Say that one more time, Craig. Sorry, it's loud here.
Oh, no. It's getting a bit crazy there. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
Oh, hey, my name is Brian House from the Work For It podcast right here on the Makery Network.
Wait a sec. Are you promoting your own work on our podcast? You know the rules.
Don't hang up on me. I will not do it again. I promise.
How are things there? How's it looking?
It's unbelievable, man. There's so many people here. I've met a bunch of people that I've been talking with for years on Instagram and on Facebook, and I'm just getting a chance to like connect with all these people and all these amazing makers. It's absolute. The energy here is fantastic.
Now, tell the truth now, Brian. Are you brown bagging there? You know the
brown
rules.
Brown bagging, of course. I've got a bottle of red wine. Actually, I bought a box of red wine, and then I took the box off of the bag. And I've got it in a Camelback with a hose, and I'm just sipping on it as I go.
I think
that's how it's done.
That's acceptable brown bagging, though. That's fine. The whole brown bagging thing is you're not supposed to sell your knives if you don't have a booth.
It makes me more social, and it makes me a nicer person. What can I say? I gotta take a little of the edge off.
You're the man.
Who have you managed to catch up with at the show?
Oh gosh. John Norwood from Old Hickory Forge, Elmer Rouse. I'm standing right here with Jason Knight, actually.
Oh, wow.
I haven't actually spoken with him yet, but I'm standing in front of his awesome booth. About ready to go up and say hi to Jason. I'm overwhelmed, to be honest. We just got off the plane, so we've only been here for a couple of hours. But, lots of awesome makers here.
I think if Jason is wearing one of his kilts, I think you need to tell him how much you enjoy his pretty skirt. And I think you should do that maybe live on the show, just so we can hear the reaction.
Come on,
cool.
Don't do it to him.
He is not wearing a kilt. He is not wearing a kilt. I'm being very considerate because he's talking with somebody. He's actually looks like he's working with somebody, so I'm not going to interrupt him. But he's wearing jeans, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's
okay,
a good
cool.
reporter. You are a good reporter.
Yeah.
You're setting the tone.
What are people wearing?
This just in, Jason Knight's ball hair is blue. Showing everyone right here. He's going to get thrown out any moment now. Any moment. Reporting to you live from Blaze Show 2021, wow. Brian House, over and out.
Over and out. Thank you very much, Brian. We should speak to you soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Cheers, mate.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
That's
an exclusive. Jason Knight's ball hair is blue.
That's how you do a report. I mean, the ball hair part. I mean, obviously, he's been hitting that bag of wine he's been slurping on. I mean, he's going hard in the paint with that bag of wine. That's hilarious.
We've had a few people say, get an interview with Jason. Get an interview with Jason.
We already did.
Yeah.
We already did.
Yeah. We have. Yeah. We had a good show with him, actually. Yeah. Right, any more unsolicited advice?
Not from the DMs, but that was it on the DMs. I was just seeing if our other roving reporter was going to call in. I had to send a message to one of our other roving reporters just to kind of give
Sorry, it looked as if I'd zoned out then, but if you can picture this, there's a window right opposite me. And I'm at my sister's house at the moment, and two gentlemen just walk down the driveway, putting on rubber gloves and wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, I hope they're not coming for me. But thankfully, they've gone elsewhere. But why they're walking down the street putting on rubber gloves, I don't know.
I have other hot takes. I only went through a couple of them. But I have a ton of hot takes. But it really is up to you. You want to save them for next week.
Let's take one.
How about some hot takes?
Okay, more hot takes. This one's another one. This one's from Dan Pedersen Knives. I used to use normal clamps and jigs to hold my knives and material. Then a shipment of can't twist clamps finally came to Australia, and I jumped on the opportunity to buy some, and boy, am I glad that I did. These clamps are unreal. They don't twist or move, and they have a load of clamping power due to its cantilever design. They also come in handy for sealing up loose cants that won't shut up. I think that was, I don't think can't, I think Australian cants are different. I can't Maybe, remember. Yeah. I can't recommend these can't twist clamps enough. That's not really a hot take, but
they are cool. And they were a former sponsor of ours. But also, you know, if we're talking sponsors, it's probably time that we mentioned the best sandpaper in the world, which is from Indasa USA, and I think they may be at Blade. I think they may have some sort of booth there, or they may be brown bagging, who knows. But they make Rhino Wet, which is by far the best sandpaper that's out there. It just goes that much further than any other sandpaper and makes really light work of any sand and you can get that from Texas Farrier Supply, texasfarriersupply.com, where they have not only Rhino Wet but lots of other stuff for the knife maker, and you can also get a discount on whatever you buy from them using Knife Talk 10, you're going to get 10% off the order. So make sure you head over to texasfarriersupply.com and you fill up your basket with Rhino Wet and a bunch of other good stuff that they've got.
There you go. I actually have a very, very nice message from Bob Ryan. This is we're gonna start to do a little bit more of. I think that we need a little bit more positivity in our lives. Bob Ryan says, I don't have a question, a hot take, or a beef. I just wanted to share some positive help I just received from our community. I just went to grab my heat treating foil and realized I have none left, and I have a hard deadline on a blade. I reached out on Instagram and some local knife makers, two guys I've never met, Jay from Caps Cutlery that we know, and Aaron from Left Coast Custom Knives, another one listener of our podcast. Within 30 minutes, these guys were both willing to help and had me hooked up with a plan to get me some foil. Very thankful for this community and its willingness to help a stranger in need. Just trying to spread some positivity. Thanks. I think that's a really nice story. And if you wanted to send me stories of how positive things were, we are 100% with you. I just got a picture from our roving reporter. I'm going to DM it to you. I'm going to send it to you. This is, I don't know if you can see, but there is...
Let's make you large.
This is our roving reporter, Brian House, and Jason Knight, as we spoke.
And he was correct. Jason does have blue ball hair. He was correct, yes.
good man. Brian, you're the man. The man. So if you want to send us some positive pants confirmed, he said that he wanted to make sure that we knew that Jason was wearing pants. So pants are confirmed. That was a really nice thing. If you guys want to send some positive things,
positive things to the podcast, we can do that too.
Yeah, it's always good. Always good.
Here is, this is from Jens. Jens, dear KTP, thanks for the amazing podcast yet again. And thank you especially to Mr. Lockwood for all the hard work you do to make this happen. You've made so many people laugh and learn above all, listening to you guys. If I may, I would like to give a big shout out to Cuddlebrook Knives. Andy is an amazing dude who makes beautiful knives. I ask him lots of silly questions. As I'm a beginner in this amazing craft, he's always helped me, and I'm grateful that this whole community is very helpful and supportive. Thanks again, KTP, and keep up the amazing work.
Nice.
And just to kind of spiral downwards, Jamie Mackey says, hot take, fuck Jay Wade belts, the twisty, tangly bastards. I got a funny story. William Cumin, just a side note. So I had my first podcast was with my buddy Nico Tavernisi, who's called The Downward Spiral, and I had some semi-friends who decided that they were going to do the antithesis and created a podcast called The Upward Spiral. So we did a fake radio war. This is one of the reasons why I don't do any radio wars with any other podcasts, because they don't understand that it's a bit. So I did a radio war with The Upward Spiral. And, you know, one of the guys on The Upward Spiral was like this comedian. I'm like, this guy's not a comedian. This guy's been, I have listened to his podcast. This guy hasn't been funny once. I just went hard in the paint for this guy. And we thought, this is standard radio war. It's all a bit. Relax. The guy wrote this message from The Upward Spiral to Nico, what a piece of shit you are. It was so bad. Nico says, I don't want to do this podcast anymore. And that was one of the reasons why The Upward Spiral like kind of stopped us for a couple months, because he was so devastated. Oh, so yeah, so The Upward Spiral, that was just a weird story.
News just in, actually. Dharma Steel have just Instagrammed a giveaway that they've got for their new patterns. So head on over to Dharma Steel Lab on Instagram and you can win some steel with their new patterns, which is pretty awesome.
There you go. Well, it's really up to you in regards to what you want to do, questions, or I get some more hot takes, or I'll let you, whatever you want to do.
Let's take just two hot takes, maybe, and then we'll talk about what we got planned for the week, and then we'll call it a day.
Okay,
maybe.
This is a good one. This is appropriate during Blade Show. Jairdrum Knives says, here's a hot take / unsolicited advice. Ranting about how shitty the internet connection at Blade Show is and asking people to video call you from the same place is counterproductive. That is true. That is true.
Quite true, as we've just experienced.
That is true, but we made it happen. We at least got one. I sent a message to Stelter. He might be sitting in sitting in Steve Schwarzer's pocket or something like that. I don't know what's going on. He's been thrown out.
He's been thrown out. He's been brown bagging. Definitely.
It. Maybe Will Stelter has been brown bagging it and thrown out. Nick Edwards says, I know. I don't know if you've used this one already, but hey guys, here's a hot take. Every knife maker wants to make a sword, even the ones that say they don't. I think that's a pretty good hot take too.
Maybe it's a hot take.
And
maybe
this one, last one.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was just saying, with my forging experience now, I think a sword should be next on the list. At 1,000-layer Damascus, all forged weld, by myself now, obviously.
I like the obviously part. I know that there's a power hammer in your future. I think that you're going to be looking for hey Jeff, do you think we should get a sponsorship with Anyang? I'm like, oh yeah, you don't say. Why do you ask that? He's like, just wondering, because they got a place in France they can ship to. Oh yeah, fine. Get yourself. Well,
we were talking about this today at Alex's, that the new shop will be three times the size, so I can have a dedicated space if I did want to do some sort of forging. And I'm clearly a master already. I mean, that's Master Smith level shit there.
I mean, if that's the first thing you've done in half an hour, yes, I think off the street you get a master bladesmith.
That is Steve's work mainly, I'll be honest with you. Like I say, he's just correcting all my stuff. Mm. Grateful Knives, Craig, are you going to organize a hammer in yet? One step at a time, please.
Speaking of master bladesmiths, I interviewed Jordan Lamote on Tuesday. And he told me, the cool thing was, he told me, I had no idea, he didn't even announce it, that he was going to, he said on the podcast that he was going to test to be a master bladesmith. And it came out today and he passed. So he's a master, Jordan Lamote's a master bladesmith now. So that's super cool. He's a really, awesome. Really cool. I mean, you want to talk about like the height of human, like evolution. I think the LaMotte family might be there. We're like playing kickball outside of that door in the brain. They've all unlocked already, that whole family.
Professional musicians and all sorts. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, we're like, we're in Ubermensch territory over there in the LaMotte family. I mean, this is like, this is a, they've unlocked a door in that brain. I mean, he had a brain tumor taken out. He's still smarter than all of us, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you can't get, I mean, a high level kid's a bastard blazing. He's like 20 something. So, and then the last hot take is going to be from Jordan Lundqvist. Yeah, he wanted me to Lundqvist. School is making our kids dumb and lazy. These damn auto-flushing toilets are a curse at home. I'm sick of walking into the bathroom to a turd submarine looking at me. They don't even know how to flush a toilet. Could be worse.
Jesus Christ.
Could be an upper decker. You know what an upper decker is?
No. What's it? Do I need to know?
There's this there's a comedian named Jim Florentine, and he says he used to do upper deckers. And upper deckers where you take the like the lid off the top of the toilet and you poop in there. So when it's like
there's no need for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
no need.
There you go.
That one. Eric Markman just said a hammer in at Craig's place at the Cutelia weekend next year. It would be lovely to do some sort of event, and I'm sure, one will come in the future, I'm sure of it. But shall we talk about our hopes and dreams? Hopes and dreams for the week. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Yes. I had something I was going to say. We're trying to figure out, I'm at the end of my list, and I started to make some knives to sell directly online, including some more forks and stuff. And I've just come up with this. I come up with this new colorway that I named, and I'm so fucking happy with the name. So it's a blue handle. There's a pink liner and there's orange and yellow. And it looks like, and my friend Keith Deason said to me, he said, it reminds me of an 80s ski lift, a ski slope outfit. And he says, I hope you don't take his insult. I said, you know what? I don't take it as an insult at all. And this morning I was doing I was just kind of going over it, and I came up with the name. I'm calling that colorway now Bubblegum Lift Ticket. So that is my new, that is the new title for that colorway, Bubblegum Lift Ticket. So I want to get deep into that Bubblegum Lift Ticket.
Nice.
I want more of that.
Nice. My week. We are taking a holiday from our holiday on Sunday. So we're over here on a sort of part holiday, part work kind of thing. We're going away properly on holiday on Sunday, just to the West Wales, where they've got some beautiful beaches, all that kind of thing, for 5 days. And then we're coming back, and we've booked this like quite a swish sort of hotel for a few days before we head back to France.
Swish.
So, yeah, so I've got no, I can't be doing any knife work at all. I did start a couple of weeks ago revamping the website, once a year I'll do like a refresh and, you know, try and keep it fresh. But then I started and I thought, well, why do it? Because, what I did wasn't as good as what I already had. So I thought, try to fix what's not broken. So I've scrapped that, which has given me a lot more time again. So yeah, I'm going to be sitting on a beach, probably buried in sand by the two kids. But yeah, I'm looking forward to having, a proper holiday, which will be a week. And then we head back to France. So next week's show will be, I think, maybe from the hotel that we'll be in. Then the following week we'll be in France. So
are you having a nice time while you're in Wales?
We are. It's, we're sitting at my sister's house, so it's really nice to have, extra pair of hands with the kids and things like that. But, now we're allowed out and we've done our 10 days, we've just been feasting. And I think we're helping the restaurant economy because they've been struggling for months and months. So that's my excuse for eating all the good stuff.
I have one question. I know you're planning on it. What are some things that you're going to bring back to France that you know that you'd miss otherwise?
Oh, good question. There's a bunch of things. We always have tea bags, which are like, they're like a currency amongst the Brits in France.
Really?
Because they do tea in France, but it's not as good as British tea. So yeah, we take as much of that back as possible. Welsh cheese, because even though France has some amazing cheeses, they don't do like a good strong cheddar. And that's what we miss. So we take big blocks of cheese with us. And, you know, you're not meant to take it over the border, so we're hiding it under the kids' seats and we're
brown
trying to smuggle
the cheese.
Big blocks. Exactly, yeah. And you probably don't get them. OXO cubes.
So oh, sure.
Beef yeah. stock cubes. Yeah. Again, they do them in France, but they're slightly different over here. So, yeah, these things, I said, they're like currency. Back to the Brits back home. When anybody goes back to the UK, they're like, well, make sure you bring back tea bags. Make sure you bring back
cheese. How much tea would you be bringing back?
Oh, 1,000 bags kind of thing, you know?
How long would that last you?
A few months, maybe.
Oh, my God. How much tea do you drink, for Christ's sakes? You must be
yeah,
peeing all the time.
We drink a lot of tea. We drink a lot. And not only that, we're having a lot of work done, so we're getting a lot of builders in the house, that kind of thing. And, you know, builders are famous for drinking strong tea. So, yeah. Griffith's Handmade said he's taking back pot noodles and Monster Munch. Definitely not. Definitely not. Do you know what a pot noodle is?
I think it's probably like ramen noodles or something like that, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, but it's a particular brand, and it is, yeah, they're known for not being the most healthy. It's got all this powdered shit on top. Yeah. You put your not good.
Yeah, Rainy Day Forge says 1,000 tea bags. I think I'm in the same camp. I'm like, that is a lot of tea. Would you give? Were you gonna give them away to other people or?
No. This will be our stash. I mean,
do you drink tea every day?
I just drank a cup of tea during the show.
Aren't you just? You're not going to the bathroom all the time?
No, probably 5 or 6 cups a day. My wife, probably twice as much as that.
Oh, my God. That is a ton of tea.
It is. It's good for your gut. It's good.
Is it? Because I'm drinking this dandelion tea for my liver and my kidneys. My God, I am going to the bathroom. I just drink one a day. I am going to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
This is just a very bog-standard black tea, you know, a British black tea. It's, you know, nothing special about it.
And what's the proper way to drink it? And I'll leave you alone. I'm just curious. So this is all the stuff I need. I don't know.
Griffith's Handmade Knives is right. If it's not tetley, it's not tea. So the proper way to drink it is from a kettle. So you put 2 tea bags in the kettle, boil the water. It needs to be completely boiling. You can't reboil the water, so it needs to be fresh water, which you boil once.
What's
no
the
reboils.
Difference?
Because there is a reason. It's the oxygen. It takes all the oxygen out of the water, and it gives you stinky breath. So if you reboil water to make tea, you get the stinky breath. So never reboil the water. Always fresh water. Boil it onto the tea bags. Leave it for about 5-6 minutes in the kettle. Then when you pour it into the cup, it's always tea first and then milk after. These people who put milk in first, they're absolute animals. And they'd be off my friends list. So tea first, little bit of milk at the end, quick stir, you're ready to go. Ready to go.
There you have it.
Grateful Knives drinks 2 liters of tea a day.
Oh my God. You guys must be urinating all the time. I would be going to at night. I'd be going to the bathroom 3 times a night. Drink
it's
that
a
much
British
tea.
Thing. It's completely British. If anybody knocks on the door, they come in for a cup of tea. You know, it's a very British thing.
So if you don't finish the kettle, what do? You pour it out? The pot.
It's like saying if you don't finish the bottle of wine, it's going to be finished. It's going to be finished.
All right, sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be offensive. You know?
And with that, all that tea talk, I think that's the show. Thank you all for listening. It's a shame Mareko couldn't stay with us all throughout the whole show because, we had fun. And it was really nice getting Pear on the show as well, mixing things up a little bit. But thank you all for listening. Thank you for those who've been watching live. And for those who haven't, it must be Monday morning. Thank you very much, and we shall speak to you all again very, very soon.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
That's so much tea.
6 to 10 is pretty standard in the UK, says L.
Bags or cups?
Cups.
Because I'm thinking that's a lot of tea. I'm thinking like you're going through a lot of tea bags. I mean, you don't reuse the tea bags, right?
You don't.
Or is that like for animals too?
That's for animals. But some people use one bag per cup. So rather than use a kettle, they'll put a tea bag in the cup and fill it up with water and leave it for a minute, then take it out and do it that way. So yeah,
that's what I do, but I leave it for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
no
maybe.
Good? I don't know.
That would be like
I'm
a builder's fasted. 5 minutes. it's I'm very fasted. Yeah. It's very much a British culture thing. Tea. Yeah.
I used to work for an English sculptor, and he used to make me go and get tea for us. And then he would make me put the tea bag in, and he says, "And when you cross this street, then take the tea bag out." Like that's when he wanted me to take the tea bag out, and he could tell what street I took the tea bag out. It was so obnoxious. Like, I think you can calm down with when I took the tea bag out, if I cross the street or not. I mean, please. Got me into Taifu tea.
Taifu, yeah. You only get anew with Taifu. That was the.
You gotta get a what?
You only get anew with Taifu. That was their ad back in the 80s. But there's lots of tea talk in the chat. The Art of Craftsmanship says, I can't believe you don't understand this. Boil first, then the tea bags in. Or do you put the tea bags in then boil it? No.
I know that. I mean, it's like putting pasta in the water before you boil it. You can't do that.
Grateful Eyes, do you ever drink tea without milk? Not like a normal black tea. No.
And Rainy Day Forts, dandelion tea. I got the dandelion tea without milk. No sugar, no milk. I like it now. I'm really digging it.
Nice. And do you say it's good for your kidneys? Did you say
it's supposed to be for your liver?
Liver, right? Yeah.
I'm like trying to like get my. I'm trying to get my liver points up. However, my wife has gotten me whipped. She's throwing it in my face too, which is annoying.
Rainy Day Forge just said that your camera is very clear today. It does. Look very clear.
That's because I have the light correctly, Rainy Day. Rainy Day is, he's worried about how I look all the time. Rainy Day is, this is obviously Monday morning now, but the Can Iron guys are doing something with some blacksmiths. I mean,
I think Mareko's doing something with them, isn't he?
Mareko's doing something with them on Saturday. I know Pat Quinn's involved, and a few other guys are going to be doing some, I think, a hop in, something like that.
I'll probably get the call for next year now they've seen the forging skills.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to sponsor you. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be anytime someone now when somebody says, "Do you forge knives?" I'm like, "Not really, but I know who does." Craig Lockwood.
Yeah, maybe. I just had lots of fun there today. They were so welcoming. Honestly, it was great. You know, Alex wasn't meant to be in today, but, you know, he popped in then, you know, when he knew I was there and stuff. So, yeah, they were just really welcoming and gracious with their time because, you know, it's a production environment there. Yeah. You know, they're slowed under with orders all the time. So, you know, for Steve to take that time out and spend some time with me, I really do appreciate it. But
did you see the stuff that they're making? Did you see the axes and stuff?
Yes. Well, they've got like a canteen area, you know, where they have their lunch and stuff. And they had, it must have been hundreds of axes on the wall. So Alex has a collection of axes. And I said, wow. And he's talking me through some of these axes. He said that's not even half of them. He's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And it's such a cool shop. It was, so they've got various rooms there, you know, and they've got a wood room where they only do the wood as well. It's really nice there. But so, so clean, you know, considering what they're doing there. It was just kept so, so clean. Yeah, it was really, really impressive. And that is obviously a great, great team there. They all get on really well, all very, very, very friendly. Yeah, really, really cool people.
I would say that Alex is a very not underrated, but like I think people don't realize how smart he is business-wise.
Yes.
Because his whole direction is much more customer-focused than most blacksmiths are. And that's what's something that's very surprising to me because he knows that like, he used to make railings and stuff like that, but why don't you make, you know, coffee scoops and, you know, things that people can use in the kitchen. And he's just that cookbook he has is outstanding. Yeah. One of the best cookbooks I've ever seen where he has every chef make something and they use one of the kitchen tools he uses. He's extraordinarily forward thinking in regards to modern day blacksmiths.
Definitely. Yeah. And we had a big conversation about, you know, CNCs and that kind of thing. And, you know, how, you know, whether it's blurring the lines between, you know, handmade and all the rest of it. And, you know, for somebody who does something so traditional, you know, he's quite happy to, you know, to get stuff laser cut out and all that first, you know, it's moving things forward, you know. He's really, really smart guy, amazing business sense on him.
Huge.
But he's
huge.
Just assembled this great, great team, really good team. And Joe is incredible.
Joe is like insane. I called him a young British Cliff Dufton, because it's like they're that kind of same mentality, this like degree of like ridiculous perfection. And in forging, as you know, how hard it is to gain that
I found it quite easy, but they
that's the best bit of the whole time. Very
but
good.
They all proudly had their Cliff Dufton hammers. So once you've been there for a year, Alex will buy you a Cliff Dufton hammer. So he said the idea is they want to be sponsored by Cliff Dufton.
Before the pandemic, they were going to have the whole Modern Forge team. We're going to go over there. And we were all working out. This is before the pandemic. We were working out how to get all of us over there to teach a class. And it was really like it was going to happen. The problem is we were trying to figure out Jesse and figuring out John's schedule, because he's got a couple kids and stuff like that. But we were at one point we were really, really close. And I was going to like bump that into when I go to Barcelona. When I was going, I was going to cancel bar. I was going to go to Barcelona for Tomer. And Alex was like very attuned to what I was doing. He's like, let's get them both going together. And the next thing you know, we're going to do Fingal Ferguson too. It was, you know, there. Hopefully when everything squares away where there's going to be a lot more stuff. But he was like, Alex and the guys come to Jimmy Durest is the teacher making class in the fall. That's when we met with them. And I just think that Alex is one of the smartest guys in the game right now in terms of like, this is a business. Really, really, really great.
Yeah, like I said, great setup, great team. And it's just in a beautiful, it's like a very sort of quaint English village as well, you know. Beautiful place, and you know, the sun was shining and all the rest of it. It's just lovely. So yeah, it's I'm really, really pleased that I went. I thought it was about 90 minutes away, so I hop onto the motorway, and as I'm sitting in the sat nav, it's like, oh no, it's 3 hours away. He's like,
oh shit.
you thought it was
an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it turns into three.
Exactly. Yeah. And on the way back then there was, you know, traffic and all the rest of it. But no, really glad I went. So as well as that blacksmith's knife, I got a bunch of these knives that I'll be working on as well.
Did they forge them out, and what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I'm gonna handle them, yeah. Yeah, but going forward, we're hoping to work on a sort of long term project altogether as well, which I'm really pleased about. So yeah,
awesome,
it's awesome,
awesome. Well, that's exciting. It'll be exciting to see. I can look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, right. I'm going to call this a day because we are ordering Chinese takeout for Friday again. So
holy cow, you love Friday?
So much weight I've put on since I've been over here. It's ridiculous.
When I just last minute on Chinese food, when my parents got divorced, my mother can't cook. So I was at my mom's house 3 days a week, and then my dad with 2 days a week, and then we'd alternate the weekends. So my mom lived on the 18th floor of an apartment, and what I would do is my dad would walk me home, and then we'd go down the lobby, and I would just point my head up 18 floors, and he said, "What do you think for dinner?" And I'd say, "It's probably Chinese. It smells like Chinese food." And it was either Chinese or pizza. We were eating Chinese food twice a week for my formative years.
Oh wow.
I'm all in with Chinese food. I can eat some Chinese food.
Big fan. Right, lovely to speak to you. Thanks to everybody in the chat, and we should speak to you all again very soon. Jeff, if you hit stop, whiz over your file and we can get it live on Monday.
I think we missed like 10 or 15 minutes.
It's fine. I can stitch stuff together. It's fine. It's all good.
Okay, great. We'll see you next week. Have a great, enjoy. Bon appetit.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.